and I want to mention that the last of the murals, which is the most troubling of all the murals, shows a Gestapo-type man walking down a street that is where the cities are on fire, and he's knifing the Dove of Peace with his bayonet.
Oh, my. Is that, see, what is that doing at an airport?
I cannot tell you. I have no idea. It is, and this is not like cartoonish art. This is Leo Tanguma, who is a Mayan, by the way, is the artist of these things, and he is an excellent artist. This art is excellent. And with kind of a funny aside on this whole thing, when we were shooting the scenes in the Denver airport, we didn't have permission, and we were a little bit worried that we were going to get in trouble. And so right on the film, while we're shooting, a policewoman walks up and asks Sharon Rose what we're doing, and she tells him that we're filming these things, and the policewoman says, "Oh, that's fine. Everybody can film them if they want." So it's like they don't really care that this is all getting out, and it's right there in front of us. A million people walk by those murals every day.
Well, I tell you what we do. When we open up the phone lines next hour, Jay, I'll also open up a Denver hotline. Those people listening to us on our number one rated KHOW, I'll give you a special number if you know of anything unusual going on at the airport. Now, listen to this. There's a website called Anomalies-Unlimited, and they interviewed someone by the name of Alex Christopher several years ago. At least they posted that on their website. Listen to the answer to this question. The question was, you would think that during this massive construction, they would not be able to keep this stuff secret. Here's the answer. I think a lot of people saw things that disturbed them so much that they would not talk about it. I know several people who worked on the project that managed to find their way down into the depths, probably close to the deep underground base, and saw things that scared them so badly they won't talk about it. I interviewed a few of the former employees on these construction crews that worked out there on these buildings that ended up buried, and they're afraid to talk. They say that everyone is real nervous about it, and they decided to tell some of the secrets that they knew, but they don't want anybody to know who they are, like you just said. So I can tell you that it is very unusual and spooky kind of place, and if you are a sensitive person, you get nauseated as soon as you enter the perimeter of the airport, especially when you go down underground. You become very nauseated, nervous. This is also because there's so much electromagnetic flux in the area that if you get out in the open ground around the airport, you will buzz. Well, where does this flux field come from? I think that it's coming from some kind of underground electrical system. Because we were there, there were no power lines, and the whole place was just buzzing with this free energy floating around. It's very unusual. Really weird stuff. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is, and I don't think that there's anything really weirder than the Denver airport. The whole edifice is just so bizarre, and I knew a person, again, when I was doing my investigations, who actually talked to one of the lead guys involved in the construction of the airport, and he told her, and this was in 94, that the airport was $15 billion over budget, and they weren't going to tell anybody.
Well, let's assume for a moment, though, Jay, that let me let you finish. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead. You know, it's just that what I'm saying is that they knew that this thing wasn't going to cost anywhere near the small pittance that they said it was going to cost, and they didn't care. And then, of course, it raises the question, well, where did the $15 billion come from? I mean, Colorado is a fairly wealthy state, but it doesn't have that kind of money. And so is it the federal government? Who funded this, and why did it cost just these? It's just a big tent with some concrete runways. Why did it cost nearly $20 billion to build and construct? And we know that's probably only the tip of the iceberg. It probably, if what we suspect is going on there, it's probably a $1 trillion facility at least. And so There's other things. There's people who have done aerial photographs of the area, and there's these strange buildings about every 4 miles.
These are, are these called like berms?
No, the berms are outside the runways, and that's a whole other interesting thing. We couldn't figure out what these strange buildings were. They seemed like they looked like houses from the outside, but they seemed to have, well, I'll just say it, they had vents in the ceilings of the house, on the ceilings, the roofs of the house had these vents. And then we realized, of course, that this was where the air was escaping from the tunnel systems for the trains. And you can actually follow the line, and it goes right into the Rocky Mountains.
Let's assume for a moment, let's take the sinister approach, that years ago, the power brokers on this planet, we call it the Illuminati for lack of a better phrase, decided that there were two main things they had to accomplish on this planet. One was population control, controlling people, and the other was reducing the population. They saw the planet starting to use its resources, and they said, and they probably have actuarial tables, they probably said, we can't support 6.5 billion people, soon to be 9 billion people. We can support quite well for almost an endless amount of time, 500 million, if we keep it at that level. We want to have a one-world government. But we're going to do it all with 500 million people. Now, the plan is twofold. One is, how do we get rid of the 500 million, the rest of the billion, right? The 6 billion people and keep the 500 million. And then, where are we going to go when the calamity occurs?
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume they decided to build structures like the Denver airport, where down below 100,000 people might be able to live very comfortably for a year or two or three, while the rest of the people on the planet bake and cinder. If you believe in a sinister theory, then you have to take it the full way and believe that what these facilities are doing underground are to prepare themselves for this horrible, horrible apocalypse.
I would have to say that I do not disagree with anything that you just said. I think that that's about the most succinct analysis I've heard of the situation. I think that's pretty much exactly what they're doing. I think a few of them escape out and try to give us messages about this, and, you know, God love them for that. And that's why I say that, you know, it's time for us to start taking care of ourselves, because I think, you know, even like Katrina showed, that they're cutting us loose. They don't really want to help us anymore. And when Katrina happened, we were living in the city of Seattle, and I just got out. You know, I moved out into the woods because I realized that I do not want to be in Seattle when a calamity happens, because I know that the federal government is not going to be there to help us, just like they weren't there in Katrina in New Orleans.